And a good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass after doing a great job as the next man up. What's up, Joe?
Oh, what's going on, man? Yeah, good job, Dr. Crane. Love hearing that beautiful voice all over Middle Tennessee today.
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Coming a little deep there with
that. That was good. All right. Hello, ladies.
Hey, baby.
It's Nick here.
Like the ladies' man.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Whoa, there it is. All right. That little Italian in it, too. So there you go.
Nice. A little gabagool involved with
it. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Put a little Dean Martin on.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Can you sing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could sing a little deep. A little alto action, right? No, what's
we
it called?
We might have to. Maybe Key West. We'll get.
Yep, we could do that.
Yeah, we could. That could be.
I'm working on my material, by the way.
Yeah, we'll talk. We haven't.
We'll get into all. Once we come back from our Vegas trip this week, if we survive, next week we'll get into what we've got planned for November. And everybody's invited with us. You guys are going on the road trip with us to do all this.
Yeah, the Chase and Big Joe show. I know you had Big Joe on the go, so we're all on the go now.
Yep. So I've added a few people.
You know, Chase, the big question in Nashville is like, how long is Brian Callahan's leash? It's more of like, how long is Big Joe's leash with you in Vegas?
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's, we got this. I've told him that Vegas Chase and regular Chase are two very different people. So
yeah, I mean, I wanted to ask this. Am I the only one who's never been to Vegas? Because when I tell people I've never been to Vegas, they're
I think Derek hasn't been in a really long time.
But he's been, though.
He's been, but it's
doesn't
been
count.
A while. So, yeah.
I'm going to ask people out there, what's my advice? What advice? I know you and Ricky got advice. What's my advice? What's your advice to me since I've never been to Vegas?
And full disclosure, we're obviously partnering with Circa.
Yep.
They're on Fremont, which is downtown. So we'll be staying downtown. We won't be on the Strip, which my personal preference is downtown because it's old Vegas. And old Vegas is cool. Like, you'll enjoy seeing when you walk down Fremont, like, it looks like the movies that you've seen. Like, because that's the old Strip,
okay. Basically.
And then there's the new Strip, which is what everybody knows it as now, which is actually Paradise, Nevada. Name of the town.
Oh, good then. Yeah. So that's I throw it out there today. Our question for me is that if I've never been to Vegas, what advice do you have for me going to Vegas? And what advice do you have for others who've never been to Vegas? Because when I tell people I've never been to Vegas, they look at me like I'm a leper.
Yeah.
And they're like, of all the people you should have gone. I'm like, no, I probably shouldn't. No, I'm good. At this part in my life, I'm okay to go. But 5, 7, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years? No. So we're looking forward to doing that and having a lot of fun out there. It'll be a good time. Faux show.
Big show planned today. We're going to hit it all. We're obviously going to continue to talk about the Titans' big win. The Predators' opening night roster is set. We'll talk about that. Even a little NASCAR playoffs. Christopher Bell is going to join us, the driver of the number 20. He's going to join us in about 25 minutes.
So we had him on before?
I believe we have. I've had him. I know I've talked to him several times.
Who's the guy we had from Daytona that when the race was postponed to Monday and we had him on and said?
That was Todd Gilliland.
Todd Gilliland, yeah.
But you will like Christopher Bell because of who his owner is. He drives for Coach Gibbs.
Oh, nice.
So you can ask about Coach Gibbs.
And we'll ask again because who's the guy that won Nashville, Ryan Blaney?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, when you win, give Chase and Big Joe a shout. He's absolutely I will. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. But I went and saw him.
I know.
He did. Like, he was cool. Like, he was like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. That's okay. All right. But Christopher Bell, we're going to tell him, when you win on this weekend, out in Vegas, right?
It is in Vegas, yeah.
You're going to say, Chase and Big Joe, give me some great advice.
I just want one time that to happen.
Could you?
Like on national television. Hey, I just want to give a shout out to Chase and Big Joe in Nashville. They believed in me, and we were able to get it done and get the DeWalt Toyota in victory lane today.
That would be the promo we run constantly through Robbie and Rex Road, through Jake's show, through DVD. It just runs. We're running on the buzz. It's nonstop, man. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I could just see you, if you were a NASCAR driver, be like, man, you know, we just had a real fast car today. I got to thank Nick. He put those four tires on there. And, I mean, I thought we were going to run out of fuel, but he said no, we did. And, I mean, I just want to thank our sponsors, Bisbee Plumbing, The Omni Nashville Hotel.
Unity Psych. I just ramble them off. But I would do it like, man.
Ares Tactical.
On the ground. Sorry. I'm not going to tell the story again, but Chase and I went to Ares Tactical.
I'm surprised they let you back.
They are absolutely beautiful, wonderful people. They're beautiful, wonderful people there. And I'd never been in a gun store before. And that was, they were
clearly
so nice, so much fun. And I had the best time in there, but we'll talk about that later on.
Indeed. Woo! We will. So our question of the day is
advice. Big Vegas Joe advice for Vegas. I've never been. Please let me know what I do need to do and don't. More importantly, what I don't need to do. And so 615-737-1025. We already got a phone call, man. Love it.
We already do. What is Carl wants to give you advice for Vegas. Carl, what's up?
Hey, guys. I've been over there a couple of times. When they say Sin City, that's exactly what they mean.
Great.
To get up and down Las Vegas Boulevard, it takes you from New Las Vegas into Old Las Vegas. Places like, Binion's is there, Palm Stars, the TV show. It's pretty neat. But there's two things you got to have your guard up. We're going down in Industrial Drive, which is the road right over from Las Vegas Boulevard, because you can get around faster.
Right.
And my wife is in the car with me, and she goes, you look at that. We pass the Wild Horse strip joint. So they had taken a portable stripper's pole, and they had pushed it out to the side of the road, and there she is twirling, and the security guard is standing there with his arms crossed.
So am I avoiding this? Am I avoiding this area?
Yeah. Well, let's just say, we'll talk about that off air. It was definitely eye-opening. It was for me. I've been twice. But have a good time.
All right. Thank you, Bubba. Appreciate you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate that. Yeah, well, there's some areas you avoid.
Like anywhere.
It's like any city.
What if I get shadow banned? Should I? I'd be okay.
No.
All right.
You can just continue to say dumb things that
good. I can do that.
Want people to
good.
Acknowledge.
Just getting that out in the air and let it clear that way.
No.
As well. We talked before. That was a fun Monday Night Football game last night.
It was. No, it was. Look, I think the Sunday night game was fun, and I think the Monday night game was fun. And I feel like that's kind of been the trend this year, which has been good.
I didn't go to bed because I know if I went to bed Sunday night, they would rally back and win. Last night was good because it's a lot of fight in that Jaguars football team.
Are we living in a world where the Jacksonville Jaguars are an actual contender?
Did you see the locker room celebration?
Yeah.
They like that coach a lot.
I like that coach.
And y'all made fun of him about the Duval. Made fun of him. Here's a stat for today for you. He has won four games and five tries. Brian Callahan has won four games and 22 tries.
Yep.
That's your stat there, Dr. Crane. Your little stat amongst your little buddies back there. Y'all have sitting around and talking about.
You got a little crew back there.
He does.
Yeah. The memo today is blue. Look at all of us wearing blue.
It is blue, yeah.
But, look, Kansas City, nobody's going to write them off until they're completely eliminated. But they're not the same Kansas City.
They're so not the same Kansas City.
Jacksonville rallied back from being down two touchdowns and then won the game 31-28. Trevor Lawrence looked like the Trevor Lawrence we've been waiting for him to look like. And I think that's a really good team. That's a talented team. You got Travis Hunter that is just an athlete.
I like him. All the teammates were high-fiving him. He was playing hard. I mean, that's fun to watch.
He got banged up and was like, nope, I'm going back in.
Yeah, right.
I think eventually they're going to have to pick, and he's probably going to be an offensive player. Yeah. But what I like that they're doing is, on a lot of the offensive snaps, if you go back and watch, I was paying close attention to this, they're not going to him. He's a decoy. But the defense can't ignore him.
That's right.
Because otherwise, you're going to have that 44-yard catch he made, which was just
Awesome. Well, you know, when Trevor Lawrence, if y'all didn't see the game, it was 28-24. They're on the 3-yard line. There's no timeouts, 30 seconds to go. Trevor Lawrence, guard, steps on his foot. So he falls down, then he falls down again. He can't get back up. So when he does that, he gets to the end zone, scores a touchdown. Watch that play if you can, wherever it is on social media. Watch the play. Chris Jones, the great Kansas City lineman, just stands there. He shows no effort. Had he gone after Trevor Lawrence, he tackles him. The game might be over. Yep. He stands there. Like, no effort. And Lawrence gets in the end zone. I'm sick of these guys who don't give effort. And that Chris Jones is a hell of a player, man. No effort. Just sits there. I was like, well, you deserve to lose. You play like that, you deserve to lose. Good for the Jags. They're now 4-1. And guess what we get to do Sunday night, Chase?
What's that?
See the Chiefs again on Sunday Night Football.
Yes, we do.
Has the Detroit Lions roll in town. Hopefully all this Chiefs fatigue is over with, and we don't see them anymore. But they are a different football team. Mahomes, to me, looks disinterested. Like, hey, we're going to play in the fourth quarter.
I think that's a really interesting observation, because I kind of feel like he's probably looking at, hey, you know what? My contract is pretty team-friendly right now. I could use a little more help than I got. And like he's got no receivers.
They're fast.
I mean, Worthy, I think Worthy's decent.
How many times did you hear that last night? They're fast.
But like Kelce, you know, finally caught a touchdown, but you know, Kelce's on he's on the 17th green right now. Like he's ready to tee off from the 18th. Like he's done.
Who was the guy the Bengals drafted from Washington that ran like a 4.12 at the combine and like, this guy is great? Then they realize at Washington, he really never did anything, and he lasted a couple of years with the big – John Ross?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and he was terrible. Yeah, you can run
– I remember Derek talking about him. I don't think it's John Ross. It's who is it? But, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I'm too lazy to Google right now. But that's the thing. Like,
no, it is John Ross. He's
great. John Ross?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it? Okay. Right. What's
drafted
he doing
by
now?
The Bengals?
Yep. What year?
He was drafted in 2017 by the Bengals and then picked up by the Chiefs and then now is with the Eagles right now.
Oh, he's still in the league.
Oh, he's still in the league?
Mm-hmm. How long number 83.
How long is he with the Bengals?
Not long.
Right.
I'd tell you probably.
Like two or three seasons maybe?
Yeah, three seasons.
Yeah.
Then he went with the Giants, then the Chiefs a year, and now the Eagles.
Goes to combine. He can run, but can he run routes? Can he get – I mean, that's the whole thing. So, I am not impressed by how fast you run the 40. I am not. Can you get open? That's what I'm impressed with. Can you run the right routes? Derek Mason was a great route runner. Fantastic. He didn't run a 4-2, but I'd throw him the ball every time. It's funny. The other day, I was telling Derek, they sent out a reel of Steve McNair highlights of touchdowns, and, like, they showed, like, 12 touchdowns, and, like, 10 were to Derek. Always, like, when McNair was scrambled, Derek was always open.
By the way, so, you know how sometimes, and I'll tell the story on the other side, but you just said something that kind of sparked something in my brain. I had a dream last night, and it involved Steve McNair, watching Steve McNair play.
Okay.
Like, no, it's a cool, it's kind of a cool one.
We had another guest who had dreams.
Well, it's not like that. Okay. All right. I'll tell that story
all
next.
All right, good.
Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. It's a young man from Tupelo, Mississippi, who made his home down in Memphis.
Man, I remember when I recorded this song. They said, hey, you want to do Unchained Melody? I was like, I'll do it.
Well, this isn't – what is this? This is –
Can't Help Falling In Love.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. I mean, I'll sound the same back in. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. All right, so quickly, my dream. It was weird. Like, I don't remember all of it because I usually don't remember all my dreams, but – I was standing on the sideline with you, Dr. Crane, and Jim Wyatt watching the Titans game, and Cam Ward was the quarterback, but Eddie George was the running back.
Good Lord.
And Steve was on the sideline. And I think Fisher was there, and like looks at us and goes, you want to see Steve and Eddie one more time? And we're like, yeah. And he sends Steve out, and it's Steve and Eddie.
Be honest, we're all friends here. Did you have gummies last night?
No.
Nothing?
No.
My Lord.
Had a couple beers, but that's it.
Oh, man. So how did it end?
That's it. That's all I remember.
That was it? You woke up?
I remember Steve handing it off to Eddie, and Cam's like, that's cool.
That's cool.
It was the weirdest
thing. Does Eddie score?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And then Cam's like, we ain't ass after all. Oh, my goodness, man.
But it was weird because it was like I knew that wasn't the right reality, but I was just like excited about it.
Oh, man.
So it was just whatever.
Right.
Dreams are weird, man.
That one really is weird, too. Yes.
We got a lot of advice. We got a lot of advice on Vegas. 1277 says, ask Chase for more per diem.
What's zero multiplied by zero? Is that zero? All right. I told you, I said, as long as my food is covered, I don't need to gamble. I'm good.
Dylan says, my advice is don't take any drinks from Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, that's a given.
Or Allen, yes. Yeah. 8492, the more drinks you have, the easier it is to lose money in many various ways. That's true. Mike in Nashville, pace yourself.
Oh.
Mike in Lebanon, don't get drunk. Clay says, Joe, remember, the sign doesn't really mean massage.
Oh, man.
Good stuff there.
And what's the other one? There's like, there are no clocks inside casinos?
Yeah. There are no clocks.
And no windows.
No windows, no clocks. You just sit there forever.
It's noon forever. Okay, got that.
And as long as you're sitting at a table spending money, they'll bring you any drink you want.
I also will not do the helicopter tour over Hoover Dam.
Yeah, no.
I don't do helicopters.
Yeah, we're good on that.
Pass. I'm good.
I'm with you.
I'm not doing it. Unless I'm with the Army Rangers, if I'm not, I'm not doing it. So, Pat, but thank you for that advice, too.
Nevada Josh, if you're going to gamble, go to Old Vegas. You'll win there. You won't win bleep on the strip. That's true. All you need is and if y'all need a Raiders jersey, I got you. Check out the Sphere if you can. We're working on that.
We are doing that, hopefully.
We're working on that.
Fingers crossed. Actually, I'm not working on that, but a friend of ours is.
Yeah. Hey, fellas.
Yeah. By the way, we got Jim Wyatt at 2 o'clock today, Titans writer.
Yes. We talked to Jim, who got to experience a win.
He did.
So we'll do that. And also Tim Hasselbeck.
Tim Hasselbeck, yes. Yeah, so.
Timothy.
I want to ask Tim about the dropping the ball over the goal line.
Dude.
I want to do that. You know, we talked yesterday about that. I had a coach reach out to me. He's like, it's all that's come out of the 7-on-7 world. Where all they do is celebrate and drop the ball before they cross the goal line. And did you see where the coach apologized to the player?
For what?
Exactly. Because he grabbed him on the sideline and jerked him around on the sideline.
Oh, my God.
So he apologized to him. And there were some Cardinal fans who were saying, coach should be reprimanded for doing that. Oh. Let me make this really clear quickly. Your player dropped a touchdown because he couldn't hold on to it for another yard and lost the game in theory. Yes, I would be mad. Yes, I'd be upset. Yes, I would probably – I know you can't cut him. I understand that. But he would not see the football for a long time. Long time.
I just love how people get all up in arms now about a coach like grabbing a dude by the face mask and like yelling at him. I mean, that was standard.
Oh, do you remember when Pruitt?
Like, if that didn't happen,
right.
You were kind of like, does he not like me?
Pruitt did that to Garantano during a game, the Alabama game. And people were like, he should be suspended. I'm like, are you crazy? It's football,
right.
Man.
It's like he's trying to get your attention.
It's fine. But there's a lot now of like, no, you can't touch. He's grabbing your face mask. That's okay. You're playing a violent sport. It's okay to have your face mask grabbed. It's okay. God, things like that drive me insane.
By the way, Dr. Crane has been a trade in the National Football League, and that is that Joe Flacco is now leaving one part of Ohio for another. He is now a member of the Bengals.
Oh.
The Jake Browning experiment is not working.
Awful. I'm floored he's that off. He was so good two years ago when he filled in. Yeah. Maybe he's missing Callahan.
Maybe Callahan did a lot. Who knows?
Did a lot.
Hey, made suggestions. He can have him back.
Yeah. Made suggestions.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, all right. So, good for Flacco getting traded to the Bengals.
I mean, they had to do something. Like, there was no way they could.
Who's the backup to Browning? That guy must be awful.
Isn't it, what's his name from the Falcons that played at Cincinnati?
Desmond Ridder?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe so. Where's Gardner Minshew these days?
Brett Ripon is the backup for the
Bengals.
Tomato.
Brent, okay. All right. Where is Gardner Minshew these days? Is he with the
Kansas
Chiefs?
City.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd trade for him. He's like America's backup.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Browning and Brett Ripon.
Okay.
And then they've just.
Brett Ripon's son of former Washington Redskins quarterback Mark Ripon.
Yeah.
I think Ritter's in Minnesota with
Arizona?
The Vikings.
He is.
I knew it's Arizona for a spiel.
No, I think he just got released, actually.
Oh.
He was with the Vikings, but I think he just got released.
He cost Arthur Smith his job in Atlanta because he was Art
awful.
Art put everything into Ritter.
He got waived 3 days ago. I don't know if he waved back.
Oh, gosh. I hope he did. Oh, man.
So he's available.
Okay.
What does that tell you, that the Bengals were like, yeah, we're good?
Yeah. Take care. You know, they need the Hulka. Kulka. What's his
Kulka?
Name?
Kulkamania? Cats?
Yeah.
Tyler Kulka.
He can throw you a bullet, man. That guy's good. Friend of the show, Tyler Kulka.
He is. He is a friend of the show. Coming up next, another friend of the show, we think. We're going to make him our friend. Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. NASCAR playoffs continue in Vegas this weekend. We'll talk to him. Also, be listening because you're going to learn some info that could give you a chance to win tickets to Talladega. We'll be doing that as well. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Coming up this weekend, the NASCAR playoffs continue in all three national series, but the Cup Series, of course, in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can hear that game, hear that race with coverage starting at 3:30 on 102.5 The Game. And one of the drivers that will be competing is Christopher Bell. He drives the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing, that Toyota. He joins us now. Christopher, how you doing?
I am doing very well. Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
So, and we always enjoy having you on. How much do you watch the standings right now? I mean, obviously, you go out there and win this weekend, you're good. You're in the championship four, and you have to feel good about that. But you go in below the cut line, barely. Is that something you guys are talking about, or is it kind of like, hey, let's just go set this car up and go win?
So really through the round of 16 and the round of 12, I would say you're paying attention to points a lot, just because there's going to be a lot of guys that make it in on points. You get into that round of eight, I think at least our mentality, and I would say that most of our competitors' mentality is as well, you're going to need to win. And we have three races for four spots. And it's very common that we have three race winners and then, one guy getting in on points. So with that being said, you need to be aiming for race wins. And if the wins slip away, hopefully you're scoring second place points or, up there in the top five. And then that's how you're going to point your way in. So I think all of us in the round of eight are definitely aiming to, try and win these next three races.
You got three very different racetracks too, with Las Vegas as an intermediate, the Super Speedway at Talladega, which who knows what's going to happen, and then a short track at Martinsville. Do you like how this schedule lines up for you and your strengths?
Well, I love Las Vegas. I think Martinsville is a great racetrack. Although it has been a struggle for me, I think it's a great racetrack in the round of eight. Always provides amazing racing, and the cream does rise to the top there. Talladega, man, I don't know. I not one of my favorites. It's such a tough racetrack, but I can't argue that it's going to be entertaining to watch.
Talking to race car driver Christopher Bell. Look, you started 31 at Daytona. I mean, that's the big race of the year, and it's kind of like, oh, man. When you come back, you win three straight. What was that like going from the disappointment of Daytona to rolling off three straight?
Yeah, the Daytona 500, man, it was so tough. And going back to what I was saying about Talladega, Daytona is the same way. Super speedway racing is just very difficult to control your own destiny. And honestly, Talladega in the spring and Daytona, that Daytona 500, we were in great position to have a good finish and compete for the win. And I think both times I got wrecked out from the front row. So it's just tough whenever you have those super speedway style races. And certainly it was nice to make up for it after that Daytona 500, winning the following week at Atlanta and then following that up with a couple more. So yeah, it's just super speedway racing, man. It's tough. It's very tough.
I remember one time asking Dale Walter, what was your success in winning all these races? And he said, stay up front.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely the goal, but there's no safe spots. I can promise you that.
You got the big win in Bristol. I don't know. What was that like? Because I find that track, Christopher, just amazing because it's unlike anything else on the planet. And to go up there and get that win, it's got to be so tough to get a win there.
Yeah, it's my favorite on the calendar. It's such a fast, short track. The speeds are up, the intensity's high. And that Bristol night race just brings the energy. So that was so much fun to be able to get my first concrete win there. I was fortunate enough to win on the dirt a couple years ago, but that one definitely had an asterisk by it. So finally got that first concrete Bristol win.
Christopher Bell is with us. You finished third at the Roval. Are you guys in the garage glad that road racing's done so somebody can beat SVG?
So it's funny. I love road racing, and we've been doing really good at it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, just we get our butt kicked by that guy named Shane. So, yes, I'm very grateful that we don't have any more road courses this year.
And obviously, look, I'm going to give him credit too, because he has worked at oval racing as well, which is not his background, and it's getting a little bit better as he goes along. But do you think I think it's good for the sport to have somebody like him that – this was not his background. He comes in, he goes all in into NASCAR racing, and I think he's getting new eyes on the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And I, you know, am just completely, my jaw's on the floor at, you know, his talent level and what he's been able to do. I think I'll speak for most of us in the industry that this is one of the most impressive things that NASCAR's seen maybe in the history of the sport, the dominance that he's had on these road courses and the gap that he has to the field at a time where parity is at its probably the closest it's ever been throughout our sport. So, you know, he's smoking us, and we've got a long way to go to catch him.
You have won 13 races in your career. I always ask this, is it a combination of luck, right place at the right time, and you knowing what you're doing? Or is it more luck than what you're doing? Or is it more what you're doing than luck? What is it?
Well, it depends on the races. You know, if you're going to talk about Daytona, Talladega, that's a lot of luck. And you know, you think of other racetracks, and it's a lot of skill. So I've got a whopping goose egg in the Daytona, Talladega race wins column. So maybe I'll cash in on that one where we go there in a couple weeks.
Well, is that funny? Do you think that, I mean, your career is kick ass, but you feel like it's incomplete because of what's happened at Daytona and Talladega?
I mean, no. The Daytona 500 would obviously be a huge place to win at. But yeah, I even if I don't win at Daytona and Talladega, I'll be content, you know, with my career. And you know, there's a lot of racetracks on the calendar that hold a lot of weight in our industry. And you know, I think of the marquee events like Darlington, the Southern 500, the Coca-Cola 600. Like those are really driver races and driver tracks. Where Daytona, Talladega, the Daytona 500 is certainly a crown jewel and probably our biggest race. But there's just a lot of luck involved at those style races, and it's hard to. You just got to be lucky to win those races.
Christopher, there's a lot of discussion about the playoffs and what the format should be and should it change. I don't know if you keep up with the Twitter account that does the old Winston Cup point standings. You're actually leading that under the old format. But what are your thoughts on how the champion should be crowned in the Cup Series?
So it's funny. I hadn't ever seen that account before, but someone shared that with me the other day that I would be – working on becoming a two-time champion. Yep. In the sport right now if we had that you know the full season point standings. So it's just for fun and games, and the championship format that we have right now is the same for everybody, and we've got all of us have a great opportunity to become the champions of the 2025 NASCAR calendar, and yeah, well, that's what we're focused on. But certainly I think there probably are better ways to, you know, make sure that we have a deserving champion.
All right, Christopher, back in May, Ryan Blaney said in our studio with Chase and myself, and we said, if you win on Sunday, please give us credit. He wins on Sunday, gives us no credit. So, Chris, when you win on Sunday in Vegas,
he invited me to
25 the game.
Just after you get all the sponsors, say, by the way, and I need to hear a little emotion in your voice, say, hey, Chase and Big Joe in Nashville believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And then that's all you got to say.
I love it.
Thank you for doing that.
Real quick, I know Joe, being a historian and a big football fan, what is it like for racing for Joe Gibbs?
Joe's the man. And I'll tell you what, one of the coolest things that I did was he took me to a Washington game a couple years ago during their offseason. And just I was blown away by how the whole place just, you know, they still love and respect Joe even after all these years. And he is the man. I can promise you that.
Well, Christopher, we appreciate your time today. Best of luck this weekend in Las Vegas and for the rest of the playoffs. And we'll be watching.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you later.
That is Christopher Bell. He drives the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing and will be competing in the round of eight, trying to get that round of four, championship four spot, which the champion will be crowned in a few weeks at Phoenix. But he's a talented race car driver, and I think he's going to have a championship trophy before it's all said and done.
Can he do it this year?
I think so.
Who's his main competition?
His teammate, Denny Hamlin, who's never won a championship, has won three Daytona 500s, is a bona fide Hall of Famer. He's just missing the championship. I would say him. And then, look, with this format, it's kind of, I mean, Larson is in there, Byron, Blaney, certainly. But, you know, Chase Elliott, Chase Briscoe, his other teammate. I mean, Joey Logano is a three-time champion. It really depends on how these three races go. Because if you win one of them, you're in.
Right. So Denny Hamlin does what Dale Sr. did, right?
Correct. He drives for Joe Gibbs, but he owns his own team.
That is just so – I can't wrap my mind around that.
So that actually came up a few weeks ago because the car that he owns, Bubba Wallace, the 23, was leading the race. This was 2 weeks ago at Kansas.
Okay.
Bubba's leading the race. Denny's in second. Denny makes a move on Bubba to try and win the race. He ends up kind of putting Bubba up into the wall. Chase Elliott sneaks around him and wins the race.
Ooh.
And so not only did neither, you know, a Joe Gibbs car or a 2311 car don't win, a Toyota doesn't win, and a Chevy wins. And so that was kind of a big thing. And, you know, to Denny's point, Denny's like, when I'm in that race car, I'm Denny the driver. My obligation is to Joe Gibbs, to get a win for Joe Gibbs. And nobody disputed that. Bubba was like, I totally get that. Where people had a problem was you were too aggressive and a Toyota didn't win because they're all about, you know, the manufacturers.
Okay.
So
I would – I got a problem with it. Am I wrong with that? I got a problem.
You got a problem with him driving for one team and owning another?
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's gray area.
How gray? Charcoal.
It's pretty. I mean, like, if you look at the 2001 Daytona 500.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right.
What was Dale Earnhardt doing when he had his fatal crash?
Protecting his
son and his driver Michael.
Yeah.
Instead of when everybody was kind of like, if he had just been Dale and gone for it, you know, he'd probably still be here.
Is that true?
I think so. But at the same time, I kind of get it. Like I don't know. And I don't know if this is true or not. I've always heard rumors that he and Childress had kind of gotten into it on the radio about that, you know, but we'll never know.
Wow. All right, yeah.
So look, there's definitely a gray area.
Charcoal.
Let's give some tickets away, shall we?
Yeah, I like this.
To Talladega. Christopher mentioned that's a crown jewel event for him that he would want to win, the Yellowwood 500. A four-pack of tickets to the Yellowwood 500 Cup Series Round of Eight playoff race at Talladega on Sunday, October 19th. But you have to answer this question about Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell is a short track guy. Like, he likes the dirt racing. He's got a big background. And the Chili Bowl is a very big dirt race that he has been a part of and has won. How many times has he won it?
The Chili Bowl.
The Chili Bowl.
Where's the Chili Bowl held?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I think it's in Ohio.
Okay.
615-737-1025. How many times has Christopher Bell won the Chili Bowl? It's in Oklahoma. I'm sorry. It's okay. In Tulsa. How many times has he won it? 615-737-1025. First one to answer that will win a four-pack of tickets to Talladega. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. So every trip that I've taken to Vegas,
yes,
as we fly in, and you can look down and you can see it and everything, it's like, you know the view, it's cool. I will listen to the song. Like, it is kind of my, you're here, soak it in. But I remember the first time that, because I flew in at night, and the first time I saw those lights for the first time, it was like, man, this is so cool. So you get to experience that.
I look forward to that, and I'll be listening to a lot of Elvis. Are there a lot of Elvises running around out there? Is it Elvises or Elvi? I'm not sure what
or Elvira.
Elvira. I'll take that, too.
Joe, there's a lot of Elviras running around, too.
You haven't experienced, like, I think we both can share this, because Chase, he was on the plane flight to my first time to Vegas.
Okay.
Him and Ricky both. It was just coincidental,
true.
But you'll have the same opportunity.
Okay. All right, good. I'll pass on that. But anyway, did you? I hear that you can buy life insurance in the Vegas airport, like on your way out of town.
I guess.
I was probably told that you could buy it. I don't know, man. I'd look. All I know about Vegas, I saw on the TV show Vegas, and then I've seen in a few Elvis movies. And then you two did the video.
CSI.
Did the
I never watched CSI.
Never watched CSI Vegas. And the U2 video when they're going down the still haven't found I'm looking for.
There's a Brooks and Dunn video
with Dale Jr.
With Dale Senior.
Sorry, Dale Senior.
The Honky Tonk Truth.
That's right. Because Kix Brooks and Dale Senior looked a lot alike.
They did.
Yeah. So I look forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said the Mob Museum, right? Is that where?
Yeah.
I haven't been to the Mob. We need to try and go. There's also a Irish pub that Ricky has insisted we take you to.
Well, he can shush it. Wait, this is the Mob Museum.
You guys
right?
would like it, I think, because after the museum's over with, they have like a noir vibe bar on the like lower level.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty neat.
We got to dress up?
No. They just have a password you have to get in. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
What is the best thing about the Mob Museum?
They talk about the...
I want to see. What do they have?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you if you don't want me to tell you.
They have Bonnie and Clyde. Well, that's not Mob.
The Chicago crime family. They have all that.
Okay.
The Valentine Day situation. They have all that.
Okay. All right. I like it.
So basically, if we do that the whole time, we're going to be like, yeah, we're going to get the money, she.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Come here, sweet cheeks.
Yes. What's the best museum you've ever been into?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably one of the Smithsonian's. What is it called? It's the one that had like Clinton's saxophone and Fonzie's jacket. It has the Enterprise,
like the pop culture.
Yeah, it's like the TV and
same.
Yeah, like that was really good. Like I went recently where you walk in and they actually have the model of the USS Enterprise, the ship.
Oh, okay.
Spaceship hanging up. That they actually used in the TV show, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. I'd say that one and probably the Air and Space Museum in D.C. with the Wright Brothers plane in there.
Maybe that's where it is. Actually, it is. The Enterprise is at the Air and Space Museum.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Then they built a whole new wing out by the airport like 30 miles out. And I'm like, I'm not going out there. But the most impactful museum, the one that shook me to the core, Holocaust Museum.
Mine's the 9/11.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to that one yet.
Yeah. Mine's 9/11. Like you, I think I've said this on the show before, but if you haven't, do it.
Yeah,
and be prepared. You know, like I literally walked out of there and was like, I need a minute.
Yeah, I bet,
because it's. I mean, it.
What's the most powerful part of that?
When you walk by and you see an actual window of a plane that hit the World Trade Center.
How is that intact?
It's charred, and I mean, but it's like it's from the actual side of the plane, and then there's a backpack of a kid.
Oh,
and it's just like at it, and you're just like,
that's one. Yeah, the Holocaust is they got all the shoes of those that were sent to the concentration camps.
Yeah,
thousands right there.
They have voicemails of people in the towers that like know they're not getting out.
Oh man,
you know, like it's. Like, Like, there's the one from this guy, like, he had called a few times, and he's like, you know, trying to figure out what happened, and he calls the last time, and he goes, hey, baby, I just want to let you know I love you so much, and you're the most beautiful woman in the world. Like, it's kind of like you're listening to it, and you're like, yeah, he ain't getting out.
Oh, man. We should do a remote one day. I'll work on this from the Space Museum in Huntsville. Because I'd like to take Dr. Crane, but if we go, I'm going to have that little leash that's around your waist. So if you try to get away from chasing me, you're like, it snaps you back.
I've been there before, so I've scouted it out. So if you try to, you know, keep me on a leash, it ain't happening.
No, it is. Yeah, you're not getting away from us. Because I'm not searching for a lost kid in Huntsville for hours.
Nikki!
We're not doing this.
Nikki!
Thousands of milk cartons have my face on it.
But, I mean, that museum in Huntsville, I love that space museum. When they go in, you see the actual, the RV or the Airstream where the astronauts were in after they came back from the moon. So, yeah, well, I'll work on that. I'll work on getting us down there. Yep.
By the way, Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tonight. Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. Max Herz, Hal Gill will be your hosts. You can see Predators players up close and personal and get autographs and pictures. Two defensemen, Nick Hague and Nick Perbix, the two new guys, the two new Knicks, they will be there tonight starting at 6. And you can listen right here on 102.5 The Game.
You almost did it. You came close. Two new guys. You came
two new guys. We love them. Max and Hal, they'll be there. They do a good job.
One's big, one's tiny.
One's small. But that's okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we look forward to that. Coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck going to join us. We get to talk about a win. I'm curious of his evaluation of Cam on that last drive.
Oh, yeah.
Of you know, what he's seen from him, because we know he watches the film and then also the Monday night game
and
last
also,
night and the Sunday night game.
And dropping footballs across the goal line.
I'll leave that to you.
Thank you.
I'll let you ask. So we'll talk to Tim coming up next. It's Chase and